nasty comment? Piece of cheese. When I first got married, I went to my mother-in-law's home, and the first time I went there, it was a strange experience. The house had two sections. Now remember, my wife's father died when she was 9 to 10 years old. So there hadn't been a father around. And in many ways, the mother didn't adapt very well. Some you know, you have three kinds of people. You have people after divorce, like loss of a person, a husband or wife. You have those who go crazy and move to Arkansas. And yes, I am being specific. And then you have those who actually move on with life, and then you have those who just collapse. My mother-in-law collapsed. She never, still hasn't really, and will never recover this side of heaven. You understand that? Some people just don't recover from stuff like that, and she hasn't. I went to her house, and her husband, my wife's father, had built half of the house. Very plainly, but half of the house he built and half they bought. And this represents the half they bought, but not very well. It was a very simple structure, this side. It included a kitchen and basically a large, this whole area, most of it was just living. But the house was weird because when you sat in the house, when we would have a meal and you sat on a chair, the floor leaned in various directions. In some areas, it felt like you were drunk because you would walk like that. Every place, and I don't mean leaned a little bit, some of it was, you could physically see the leaning. It also had a front door. The problem with the front door is you couldn't get in the front door because the roof was sagging. It was sagging kind of, you know, however the roof was, it started doing this. And the sag happened right over the door, so you couldn't open the door, the front door, and the roof started to sag a little bit. And I remember when we first got married, she says, can you go up on the roof? Because up here on the roof was the chimney, and it was starting to leak around the chimney. And she says, can you put some, whatever you put on her, goop or something, I don't know. So I climbed up there, put goop on there to keep it from leaking, but the sag continually got worse, the floors got worse, and the collapse in the door, you never could open the front door. Now, if you're a normal Christian, you don't have a clue why I'm telling the story, number one. When I get done, you won't know. The problem with the roof was what, Tim? Was the problem in the roof? It was in the ceiling. Not in this case. In this case, it was down here. It didn't have a foundation in the house. So back in about 85, 86, was it 85, 86, 87, 88, somewhere in that area, she decided to tear the old half of the house down. And when they tore the half of the house down, because this sagging got worse and worse, and it got scary. When they tore the building down, the building had no foundation at all. It had been set on the 2x4s, the studs. That was the foundation. And the house was probably 75 years old. So now, Tim, you'll like this. They had somebody like some of us in there repairing. It had 5 floors in it. What were the purpose of the floors, Tim? To cover up the mess. The problem was the mess could only be covered up so much because there was nothing here. There was no foundation. So when they opened that up, it was like an aha moment. This house never had a foundation. That's the reason the roof was collapsing. That's the reason the door couldn't be opened. And that was the reason the floor was doing all kinds of strange things. By the way, we bought 2 houses since I've been here. Do you all know that? Some of you don't know that. One of them is torn down, and one of them is where Pastor Melvin still lives right now, correct? What was the difference in those 2 houses? The one that's still there has a good foundation. It's a good structurally. It's nothing fancy as a house, but it's good structurally. The next one? How many lean-tos did that house have? I mean, the more you opened it up, the more lean-tos you found. I remember, and you walked in it. You walk in it, and one place the ceiling is hitting you in the head, so you had to walk in like this. And what we determined was there's no foundation in most of that house, so we had to tear that house down. Folks, now I say all this story for this reason. This is no joke. You better understand a Christian foundation to a family. Now, I told Tim, I'm going to say to you today kindly, you'll never hear one word out of this guy's mouth that is weird about the family. I'm never going to tell you to beat your children when they're 2 days old. I'm never going to tell you to buy snake oil because that will help your children. I am a very centrist person when it comes to rearing children. No voodoo, no goofball stuff, no soul winning when you're 6 weeks old, no idiocy, but I am dead serious when I talk about child rearing. Have you figured that out? You'll figure that out this morning. So my question is, what is the foundation of the family? How do we organize the foundation of a family? I say in your notes, in the home, most and probably all of the collapses begins with the foundation. The foundation of the home is wrong. When I see children having problems, I don't have to pray about roofs. The issue isn't the roof. The issue is almost always the foundation. Somewhere along the line, either from their parents, or sometimes it's just generation after generation after generation, we do not understand how to rear children. And by the way, folks, it's very obvious. If you know anything about a family, see these things? I can see within seconds what kind of family you came from. And dysfunctionality, it's just like, does nobody wake up one day and say, I talked yesterday, Kevin Bowder, I called him, Dr. Bowder. I got to bring this up. It's not in the notes. He had a problem. They're having a problem with a student at the seminary. He wanted my advice. Why my advice? I don't know. He said to me, he said, Ralph, I have learned that unless there is a major course correction, people become more of what they are, not less. So if you are worthless as a parent today, you'll be worse in 10 years than you are now unless you have a course correction. And by the way, as a pastor, I don't see many course corrections. I generally see stupid following stupid following stupid. Tim's the only person in this room that knows who this is. 10 years ago, I walk to the pulpit, I look out, and there's a young lady, didn't know who the young lady was, with rabid bitterness written all over her face. I knew what family she came from in this church from seeing her face. You know who I'm talking about. Because every other child related to this family has the same bitterness. This is course correction time. Or collapse of a family, whichever you prefer. And by the way, just because your parents were Christian doesn't mean anything. To me, the question is, do you have a foundation that's Christian? Not whether your parents are saved by the skin of their teeth. In your notes. In the home, most, if not all, of the collapses begin with the foundation. And then there are the many cover-ups. There's the five floors to save face because it can't be anything wrong with me. It's got to be something wrong with the school, something wrong with Tim Kowak, something wrong with Sharon Vasilovich, probably true. We hear this junk. It can never, by the way, I've never had a parent walk in and say, the problem is my family. Have you ever had that yet? Never one time. It's always, and by the way, in the families that don't have the problems, because they have a foundation. Well, we're going to talk about that today. Best to start with a biblical foundation. By the way, this will be in your bulletin. We will quote this every Sunday morning, the 4 points. So let's quote the first point together. Number one, are you ready? We are the parents, not the children. Let's say it again. We are the parents, not the children. Man, that's simple, isn't it? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And your fathers. In your notes, and I don't want to spend any time extra on this. Ephesians 6:4 obviously addresses fathers. Ephesians 6:1 mentions parents. Are you ready for this, friend? parents, or excuse me, fathers in the Bible and the ancient Near East were always understood as being responsible for and in charge of the family. They were always understood as being responsible for and in charge of the family. They were the leaders, is the idea. So if the Bible addresses the fathers, who is it addressing? It's addressing dad and therefore mom. Now, I realize we live in a perverted society. We have males, the only thing they lead themselves to is TV, more TV, and more TV, and food, and sleep. Basically, they have three modes. But in the biblical world, by the way, have you not figured out in my 19 years next week here that I think men are responsible for the family? That men ought to be men? I have no respect. If you don't want me to like you, it's not hard. You don't have to pray for it. Don't be a man, a Christian man. I'm not talking about machoism. I'm not talking about hunting and fishing and killing stuff. I'm talking about you're the guy responsible for the family. So when it addresses the fathers, it does that because it assumes if this is the dad, mom is following this guy. It's kind of the biblical thinking. Okay, in your notes. So fathers in the Bible and the ancient Near East were always understood as being responsible for and in charge of the family, the leaders. Next, parents are adults. If you're crying, what are you crying for? Who's the adult? Next, parents are responsible. Next, parents are no longer act, think, or live like children. They no longer act, think, or live like children. You do realize, folks, if I spent the next 6 weeks just talking about this one idea is really where the action is, because until we grow up and become adults, it's pretty hard to talk to children. I think our big problem is many of us are still living out our childhood. We're still lost in trying to find ourselves. Do me a favor, if you know somebody that's trying to find themselves, try to encourage them not to have children. Please. Next, parents are mature. And I will spend one whole Sunday at least talking about the next point. Parents have dealt with their own childhood. When I was in Japan, Cliff Cavallis quoted to me at least 50 times one statement. He said, "Pastor Warren, I still remember you teaching on the family, and you said over and over, parent your children, not your childhood. Parent your children, not your childhood." Why? So mommy wasn't nice to you as a child. Look at me in the eyes, everybody. What does that have to do with how you parent? You're not parenting yourself, you're parenting your children. So daddy never gave you anything, so you give your children everything. Who are you parenting? Your children or your childhood? We'll talk about that in the future. Number two. So let's start with number one. Are you ready? Say it with me. We are the parents and not the children. Number two, are you ready? Who must actually parent? Boy, that's simple, isn't it? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And then it says, "And your fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up." Which means you actually have to do something. Children are not accessories that you accessorize your life with. They're not nice playthings. You actually have to parent them. And this is what I know. They take a lot of work. I have forgotten how much work they are until I got that grandson. Good night. He's demanding. He doesn't always go potty on the potty. Now, I know Jackson over here started going on the potty at age what? 3 months? Is that right? Not quite. Okay. Kids. In your notes, this sounds funny, but many parents don't want to parent and aren't really prepared to parent. It's the strangest thing I've ever seen. You know, folks, when you have a child, it's like I am now the parent and I've actually have to parent, which, look at me, folks, means you actually do things. Now, I'm just going to say these are not significant unless you actually practice them. Children, at least in my opinion, are seen as accessories. In other cases, they're seen as accidents. In some cases, they're seen as necessary evils. And in many cases, they're seen as fun at first. Look, when we have a baby in this church, all right, I'm going to be specific. This is not mean, but I'm going to speak to people here. Jennifer and Mr. Almost, in your mind, I'm sorry, but your children are no longer cute. There was a day when your son, that little guy, was Mr. Cute. That's now been transferred. Now it's Elijah. Because people in this church, like all people, we're only interested in babies. And your son is in danger, the oldest, because he's way past cute. He's now to that preteen or teen stage where people don't like them anymore. And some of us have a rough time with that because it's pretty neat when you bring that baby in and everybody's going, ah. Nobody is looking at some pre-teenager that starts to smell, doesn't brush his or her teeth, doesn't dress correctly. The cute is way gone. What is your attitude towards being a parent? Is this just something kind of fun at first? Man, this is pretty neat. I got this girl and everybody thinks she's so pretty. They won't be thinking that in a few years. They'll look at your child and say, yuck. Or you'll be one of those kids that they're saying, slow down, quit running. I am not going to spend any time here because of time this morning. In my way of thinking, when I say who must actually parent, the rest of our series will deal with what that looks like. I find that we have two issues that kind of dominate any discussion today. So I'm going to put both of them on the board. I'm not going to just deal with the first one because other men in this church are going to deal with it. I think that this issue right here is the big issue today. It's going to dominate any discussion. And parents, Pastor Koch, Jim Duncan, Noel Hippolito, which is preaching again this morning, those three men will be talking about that. You'll be going through a discussion. By the way, unless you just decide not to be here for Sunday school, which some do, you will be forced to think, because we're going to break this up into small groups, where you don't have a choice to hide behind your naughty head. This is it. Unless you get control of this, forget parenting. Because here's the deal. I give a child, my 2-plus-year-old grandson, if they want him to be happy, all they have to do is turn on an iPhone and hand it to him. But that's not parenting. They know that, do you? And there's hell to pay for that in the future. And it's not a small price. Parenting is not ignoring your children while they're pacified with a TV screen or a computer screen or an iPhone or an iPad. Now, we're going to say, aren't you going to say things about this? What? Yeah, but you don't listen to me, so I don't know. I mean, we're going to deal with this. By the way, no. Again, this is not fundamentalism, man. Burn the TV. No, this is learning to control your life. Go out to eat. Hey, do what Jim Duncan does, Johnny R. does. Get on the train, go to Chicago in the morning. See how many people talk to you. Look up here. Christians, too. How many do? We don't communicate anymore. Now, by the way, this leads to the number two problem. How do I state it in your notes? Conversation time between child, I'm being real specific, real specific. James Dobson, 30 years ago, said the average father talks, got to get the language, talks with their child, not, shut up, get out of my way. I'm talking about with their child. This was 30 years ago. I think it's less today. This is what he said. 45 seconds a day. By the way, it's not a secret. You immediately know when you walk into a home if the parents talk with the children. How do you know? You pray and you have magic glasses. Oh, come on, the kids can talk to you. Then carry on conversations. They can talk through things. enjoy each other. Had a meal at someone's house yesterday. They're in this room. I'm not going to say who they are. They know. I know they talk with their children. You know how I know? Because their children talk with them. And it's not, you need to talk to me now. The pastor's here. Come on, folks. It's called conversation. The average dad, I would say, is less than 45 seconds a day. If you cut out, shut up, get out of my way, you're irritating me. I'm talking to, now, folks, I'm not mad at you. You have to understand, this is what I believe. We are the parents, not who must actually parent. I believe that. Which means 45 seconds a day is not going to do it. This is not going to help it. I've already told you this. I don't want to repeat my, this is not about my childhood. At 18 years at home, 18 years, I had exactly one conversation with my dad. And that was an accidental conversation. So when you say to me, my family's just not like your family, well, my family's not like the family I grew up in, by choice. By choice, I decided we're not going to have that kind of, we're going to have a different kind of family. So when we sit around the table, and we'll do it today, if Amy and Aaron are coherent, which I don't know for sure, driving back from North Carolina. But I do know this, folks. When we sit down to eat today, nobody's going to be playing with their iPhone. Nobody's going to be playing their music. We don't have a television for them to watch. We're going to be having conversation about something bigger than what's going on in the Final Four. Did you know the Cheeseheads got in the final? By the way, that's okay. That's 5 seconds of conversation. And then you're talking about life. How about you? So here's our first 2 points. Are you ready? They're simple. We are the parents and not the children who must actually parent. Make sense? Number three. It's in your notes. Employing the two basic strategies. By the way, folks, you can read book after book, and I recommend them. I'll put some recommendations in the bulletin. Basically, Dobson, and what's the other baby-wise? Well, who's that person? Who wrote those? Child-wise, baby-wise, what are the? Ezos. You read those books, plus some books on teaching your children about sex. You don't need anything else, frankly. Read the verse with me, would you? And your fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The word nurture is the Greek word paideia, which is the broadest word for parenting. The other word, admonition, means to warn. So I'm just going to give you different ways of, and by the way, there's only two strategies that we have, frankly. We have the strategy of, well, let me just give you these. Nurture and admonition. How about this? This is James Dobson, love and discipline. How about this one? About all you're ever going to be able to do with a child has to do either with a yes or with a no. And which one should predominate? I disagree, but we'll get to that. And you don't agree with that either. No just sets the foundation for all the yeses, the conversations, the parenting, the loving, the encouraging, the teaching. In your notes, constructive and destructive. There is a destructive part of parenting, meaning you got to tear down some things and bad habits they start. There's the positive and the negative. There's the direction and correction. Meaning, folks, it's not enough just to say my kids don't drink. What has that got to do with anything? They don't work either. Did you hear that? I don't want to ever put any of you in a false dichotomy where you have to choose two stupid places. But why some of us think, boy, my children don't smoke, but they don't work? My children, they don't play cards, but they have no passion? Those are really strange ways of looking at life. Friends, Dave, you have two handsome sons. About the only thing you can really do with them is there's these two hands you have, two strategies. And in one way or another, everything you ever do is going to be either the no side or the yes side. You're going to be, and hopefully most of it, I'll say in a minute, is going to be constructing some things. But sometimes you've got to deconstruct a few things. Knock down a few stupids. Not in your children, of course, because, well, the first one's perfect. The littler guy, not so perfect. He's usually destroying you. Is that correct? By the way, is this it? By the way, this is it. We are the parents, not the children, who must actually parent, employing the two basic strategies. You got two hands. That's it. Dobson will tell you in his book, love and discipline's all you got. Now, we can flesh out what love looks like. We can flesh out what discipline looks like. But really, there's only two basic things you're going to be able to do in your notes. When I talk about these two strategies, and remember, this is just foundational, both must be employed. You cannot choose just to be positive, and hopefully you never choose just to be negative. Both are necessary. Next, both must not be employed. Not, the not is the key word. Both must not be employed equally. So it's not this, 50% yes or positive and 50% no or negative. It's not that. They're not equal things. That kind of, you know, and how would you know what you do with your children? Dave, I don't know about your two sons. You're old. They're very different personalities, aren't they? John and Amy were the same. They're very different personalities. John would draw stuff in more. Amy never suffered anything. It comes right after you. So if I got too negative, which I still remember one time when we were here, I don't know, I was crabby. Only one time. Came downstairs, Amy was making too much noise, giving my wife a hard time, so I, you know, like a chainsaw. And Amy looked at me and she says, Dad, all you ever do is come downstairs and gripe. By the way, she was right. Negativity won't work either, folks. By the way, griping and whining is not even part of what I'm talking about. All right, so in your notes, they both must not be employed equally. I don't know what the split is. This is my opinion. I would say 90% yes, maybe 10 no, or maybe 80, 20. I'm not sure. It might even be 95-5. Most of what you're doing with your children are positive. If all you ever do is negative, I used to teach martial arts to little kids, 4 and 5 year olds. 4 and 5 year olds need very little correction. They need mostly positive showing people how to do it. We would have a few people come in and try to teach the little kids. And the little kid, they can't stand properly. They can't kick properly. And they would literally never allow them to do anything because they kept correcting them over. No, it's not like that. No, you get them to do what it's like. It's mostly positive with enough of a negative to keep them on the right path. It's my opinion. In your notes, the negative is only useful. And Tim, here's where I hear you on the no, because I'm a big no person too. But this is my thinking. The negative is only useful if it helps accomplish the positive. There is that no. I mean, you have to, and when do you have to start saying no? Let me see here. Josh, you have two handsome sons. Now, Carter, he never needs need to hear no, does he? But Jackson, pretty much, that's his middle name is no. Oh, he says it already. Some kids get so... But why do you do that? Because you want them to do the right things. It establishes the right path. It's not, man, if a kid just hears no all the time and the negative all the time, and especially if you happen to be whiny, not good. So the negative is only useful if it helps establish that. You already know this in your notes. The negative is used PRN. That's a nursing term. Pro renata, as needed or as the occasion demands. But folks, the occasion shouldn't demand all the time if you're engaged with your children. Now, I look at you as a person that understands parenting. I'm not James Dobson. I pulled Pastor Coax sometime last week. When I read Dobson, this is the third time through his books, I recognize this is like talking to the great of anything, meaning you go talk to a Michael Jordan, he inhabited basketball. James Dobson inhabits parenting. Everything about it just seems intuitive to him. I can't recommend him enough, yet I'll have parents that will never even look at his books. You say, why? I'm going to teach you things I have learned. I've drawn from him, drawn from life, drawn from the Scripture. But that man inhabits this. You do have to be negative, but it's only as needed. And it shouldn't. Now, yes, when the little child's young and they're trying to burn themselves on the stove, you have to say no. Maybe you have to do something else in your notes. The negative establishes the positive. That's my thinking. Only negative. If you're only negative or mostly negative, produces anger. It produces anger. Next, it produces rage. May I say this to all of you? Most of the stuff I heard on parenting, not in this church so much, but in general for among Christians, when I was younger, everything was about spanking your children. Do you realize I think spanking your children is maybe 1% to 3% of parenting? Maybe. Do I think it's important? When they're very young, look at me. You try to spank a young man, 14, 15, 16 years old, you are going to pay the piper on that one. Because you're going to produce some rage in that young man. And you remember, I had friends in high school that said, when I get old enough and big enough, and they didn't use nice language, I'm going to beat the out of my old man. And they did. If all you are is a negative parent, because you're not a parent, see, what's really going on? When you're only negative, what's really happening is you're not a parent. You want to watch television, and they're interrupting your television. What did you have your children for? We have to keep going back to the foundation. Once you understand I had these children to be a parent to the children, or not to have my wife be the parent, but me to be a parent. And frankly, my wife did many more things with the children than I did. I don't, especially when they were young. Oh my goodness. I like children when they're young. I like to smile, but I like children when they can start talking to me. I confess that. Now, K4 still can't talk to me. They talk at me. You have a big belly. That kind of thing. So let's read this again. I hope every father, this is specifically to you. Only negative or mostly negative produces anger, rage, bitterness. And then you have something that you, and by the way, you will see young men that hate their fathers. But what's weird is you'll also see the opposite, brokenness. When you see a child that has been just dominated by a dad or a mother, they would just be broken. Right now, Jim, I'm thinking of your handsome son. His church has a guy that every time I've talked to your son says, that guy is broken. He was broken by his father, which is a pastor. Broken. Listen, folks, your job is not to break your children where they're empty people. Your job is to create and to parent and to love and give direction. And yes, some correction along the way. Yes. So you can have a child, if they're my personality, I would get to the place where I was enraged. And I have no question, some of my dad's anger bled into me, that at age 58 almost, I am finally getting rid. This man irritates me because he never had any of it. My son doesn't have it. I had to get rage. Do you know where that comes from? Getting beaten as a boy. My father also never spanked me. I forgot to tell you that. He did beat me. Do you know what that does to a boy like me? John has none of that. It's like, John, where did you grow up? I'm glad he doesn't. Tim doesn't have any of that. I got it. Though I will say with age is not all good, but it's not all bad either. Some things gradually bleed away, I hope, in your notes. Well, only positive doesn't produce much of anything. Hello? So, Mom, you grew up in a home where Daddy didn't hug you. So all you do is hug your babies. You're not going to produce anything. You're going to produce a spoiled, lazy, narcissistic, all about me living in the basement until they're 80. Yes? So, here is the foundation of parenting. We are the parents and not the children, who must actually employing the two basic strategies, nurture, admonition, love, discipline, yes, no, and you actually have to parent, which means talking, interacting, playing. Can you imagine me driving? Friday, Jenny and I drove down to John and Tiff's, and we went someplace. Can you imagine me going there and watching television? Well, it would be difficult. They don't have a television. Plus, didn't I come to see my kids and my grandson? Wouldn't you think I'd be playing and talking and interacting? The answer would be. But I'm going to say this to every man that's older than me in this room. You grew up lazy and on television. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. My dad's generation and everybody after World War II fell in love with the TV, and they cannot shut it off. And the idea of going someplace to actually accomplish something in the life of even your own grandchildren is unthinkable. My whole life is going from what I don't want to do back to TV, back to food. That's life. And by the way, you better check your life. And unfortunately, we have women that way too. I'm going to read all that again. If you're only positive, and usually if you're only positive, if you're only positive, you're parenting your childhood. Mom and daddy weren't nice to me. Folks, just because mom and daddy weren't nice to you that has nothing to do with your children. You have to employ both strategies. Everybody does. Are you going to produce children who are spoiled, lazy, narcissistic? Do you know who narcissistic people are? Talk to them. They can only talk about themselves. Living in the basement. Well, we come to the fourth and the last piece of the puzzle. Let's go back to the front page. Let's say it all together. Here is the foundation of the family. Are you ready? We are the parents and not the children, who must actually parent, employing the two basic strategies. Number four, avoiding the two basic dangers. And you already know the two dangers because the dangers are not using the two strategies, one or the other. Ephesians, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Colossians, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. A very odd word, because it's the word we get wrath from with this thing on the front, which is the letter A, the alpha privative. Do you realize, Dave, I will say this to you because your children, especially that young son, doesn't have this problem. You can crush a son to the place where it's like he doesn't have anything on the inside. You just suck it right out of him. Now, in this church, we have some of that. I see young children sometimes so beaten down. I think of a family right now. He and I have talked so many times because I can't get these children to have an opinion. When children don't have an opinion when they're in 11th grade, that means their opinions have been this: force-fed them by parents, either mom or dad. It's like they have no soul, no heart. That's not your goal in parenting, friend. Your goal in parenting is to rear children that can glorify God, exist in this world, make an impact, not eat, sleep, and watch more television. You can actually take a child, and one of the dangers is I have two of them in my Bible class, and it's now, what, March? And they, to this day, are you listening, have never given me an opinion. Their opinion, frankly, is their mother's. And the dad's opinion is the mother, which means nobody has opinion but mom. In your notes, let's read the verses. The rod and the reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself does what? By the way, if you rear your children without doing what's necessary, you're going to have shame in your home. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Tim Durham, is your son going to graduate here from school soon? You're not happy about that? And your son already has been accepted in a job? And he got the job out of four guys where Steve works at Laser Age, right? You're not happy, are you? Yeah. When I found out my son, this is his fourth year teaching, is the teacher of the year at the college he's at, I'm kind of happy about that. How about you? How about your children? Child left to himself or herself brings the parents to shame. 1 Samuel 3:13, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he just wouldn't employ one of the strategies. This is talking about David, and his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? Proverbs 10, verse 1, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is a heaviness of his mother. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. A foolish son is a calamity of his father. Here's the problem. None of that shame comes the first weekend. Why do we rear children that will bring shame on us? Hiya, if you're a Filipino. You know why? Because I don't have my iPhone. Here's something. Entertain yourself. It works for a long time until they won't work. They won't get a job. They want to sleep all day, and they want to live off the government, and they're bringing shame. They ought to bring shame to your family. Yes. If you rear children who won't work, you ought to be shamed to your souls. Sorry. I have no patience with that. By the way, Christian and lazy, they don't work very well. In your notes, here are the two basics, and we're going to talk about this, but remember, this is just a foundation. The two kinds of avoiding dangers, the two dangers are this: negative anger-based parenting. You do not want negative anger-based parenting. This produces, I've already said, either bitterness or brokenness. Neither one. By the way, a negative anger-based parenting is not parenting, and I will say from my dad, that's what I got. I will talk about that more. I'm not picking on my father, but that's what I got. Anger, rage, filthy language, calling me every name in the book. It didn't affect me as much as it affected my older sister, which at 60-something years old is still affected by this. Some people can remember the names their dad called them as a child. I'm kind of the other kind of person. I get stronger through this, but some people go the opposite. They get broken. And my older sister's done well in life, except with relationships. Wonder why. Number two, the other side is positive emotion-based parenting. And by the way, positive emotion-based parenting, do I need to explain who generally errs on each side? Who generally errs on the side of anger? Scotty? Dads, how about the emotions? Now, that's not absolute, because actually, I think we have a lot of parents that don't do either one. I don't think they do anything. They're so into themselves that parenting is just not what they do. This, of course, produces self-invited, self-involved, entitled children. And I'm assuming you do not need any self-involved, entitled children. All right, let's look to the front page. Folks, this was the foundation of the family. I want everyone to look at me. We're a little late, but we're going to be 30 seconds. We'll be done. Please look at me. Is there anything that sounds weird in what I said? Here it is. Ready? We are the parents and not the children who must actually parent, employing the two strategies, avoiding the two dangers. Is that easy? That's parenting. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege of coming together this morning. I thank you for the many parents in this room that are actually getting it. They're not parenting their childhood. They're not lost in their childhood. They're not lost in their own angst. We recognize, Father, the damage that can be done because of circumstances. We don't desire in this church, I have no desire to see little children. I have no desire to see the Levi's and the Tobiases look like they're in the military. It's wonderful to see children happy and loved by their parents like those boys are. But I desire those boys and every other boy in this church and young lady in this church to grow up and to be citizens of heaven and productive citizens of this country. May it be so, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.